All right, ladies and gentlemen, Conference Championship Sunday, in effect, yesterday, as we look to see who made it to the Super Bowl. But why don't we show you who you're listening to? I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, Chris Weasel, ready to bring you Conference Championship action. I'm milking that all I can, saying Conference Championship, because, you know, it's kind of like Christmas. It's only once a year. And I mean, I know in 2 weeks it'll be Super Bowl, and then, you know, we're going to be on relative hiatus by comparison there. We'll have a few things there where we're doing education, you know, why certain things happen. Do a little bit of what we may call research projects, if you will. Analyze why Tim Tebow was actually good the weeks he was and what killed him. You know, the in-depth stuff that the people don't tell you where they get wrong. That kind of thing. Would you guys think about that? Yeah?
Yeah.
At any rate, enough about what's coming up. Let's get with what was. Starting off with the game that was first, the Ravens, the Patriots. Go.
Yeah. The Ravens choked again in the AFC Championship, having two chances to at least tie the game as they handed the game to the Patriots 23-20.
Well, the Ravens to the Super Bowl? Nevermore. Well, not since 2000, anyway.
Right. For the Ravens, Joe Flacco, 22 of 36, 61%, 306 yards, two touchdowns, one INT. You have sacked three times. And for the Patriots, Tom Brady had 22 for 36 as well, 61%, 239 yards, no touchdowns, two INTs. He was sacked once. He also had a rushing touchdown. So, Weasley, do you think he had a better game, Flacco or Brady, off of that stats?
Well, Flacco. What?
I mean, it's not often you get that apples-to-apples comparison that they actually attempted and completed
the same
number of passes. Right.
Yeah.
So then you got yards, 306 for Flacco, 239 for Brady.
Exactly.
And then two touchdowns for Flacco and none for Brady.
Yep.
And a little warning I didn't tell you guys pre-show. There'll be a pop quiz on some of these quarterbacks later on after we get through the second game. But it's not really a pop quiz because I just told you to prepare for it.
Can we study now?
Yeah, I didn't tell you what it was on. So
it's Weasel, take over. I got it.
I got to look this up. Go ahead, Chris.
On the ground game for the Ravens, Ray Rice, 21 carries for 67 yards, 3.2 a carry. Joe Flacco had 4 for 27, 6.75. And Ricky Williams had 6 for 22, 3.7. For the Patriots, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, the firm, had 15 for 68, 4.5 with a touchdown. And Danny Wood had 6 for 18 for 3 yards, but he lost a fumble on a kick return.
It's starting to be a theme. Throughout these playoff games. At any rate, you know, something I find interesting, too, is Ray Rice is a free agent this offseason. So, I mean, that's kind of a big deal as far as the Ravens offense goes. So as far as Ray Rice, I mean, is that something where, you know, you go ahead and get him paid? I mean, I know running backs are a bit more expendable. I see Chris, you know, stuttering here. He's probably going to give me a stat or two on his age or whatever, but I mean, is Ray Rice the kind of guy that you maintain on that roster? Do you get him paid?
He's young. He's only been in the league 4 years.
He's definitely a player you could pay. It would be good for running backs to do an incentive laden contract, but still, he needs to get at least like $4 million, $5 million a season.
He needs to be bumped up a little something there.
Yeah, not getting, I think, roster bonus of like, what is it, like $1 million, I think he's due. I think this season
should at least
so.
Double what he's paying is what I'm hearing you say.
Maybe triple.
Because you said 4 or 5 million. Like, damn, hold on, he's a running back. Let's take it easy there. But
well, he's an important part of their offense.
Yeah, he is. And well, so. There you go with that. Yeah, I mean,
so in a roll with Ricky Williams all season.
No, not roll. Smoke.
Roll.
You can roll it. You can roll.
Yeah, roll it first.
Oh, you got to roll the joint. All right.
Smoke it.
How do you guys know about that? Anyways, no, and leave it to this pop quiz, this bit of inquisition. More important to re-sign to their team, Ray Rice or Matt Forte? Matt Forte coming off of injury himself.
Due to the injury?
More important, Ray Rice.
Ray Rice, yeah. If Forte was healthy, I would say Forte. But he just got a...
So by extension, you think that Jay Cutler's a better quarterback, or that the Bears have a better offense without Forte than the Ravens do Ray Rice?
You're not going to... It's tough to give somebody a a huge contract after they MCL or I think he
I think it was MCL. I think you're right.
MCL. So, I mean, he's definitely a big part of their offense. Huge.
The biggest part, yeah.
But the thing is, he's got that injury thing. He's got that.
Will he be the same?
That's a big question.
I got you. All right. Anyways, Chris.
All right, through the air for the Ravens, Anquan Boldin, 6 catches, 101 yards. Torrey Smith, 3 for 82 with a touchdown. Dennis Pitta, 5 for 41 with a touchdown. And Lee Evans at 3 for 29 with a dropped pass in the end zone. More on that later.
Yeah.
For the Patriots, Rob Gronkowski at 5 for 87. Aaron Hernandez at 7 for 66. And Wes Welker at 6 for 53.
I don't know if you haven't noted there, but Ron Gronkowski leaving the game early with a high ankle sprain that looked pretty damn awful when it happened. Sources say that he is going to play in the Super Bowl no matter what, quote. So, there's that. Yeah. I mean, a high ankle sprain, a dude in that good of shape, taking a few snaps in the Super Bowl, I don't think would be beyond extension. I think the chances of someone getting gronked would be much lower, but at any rate, Chris?
All right, both, looking through the stats, I mean, Baltimore led, you know, time of possession by 7 minutes over the Patriots. Turnovers is a big deal, 3 for the Patriots, 1 to the Ravens. The one was Flacco's interception. The game with 7:22 left in the fourth quarter. But right after he threw that one, Brady threw an interception in the end zone that was a tip drill for the Ravens as cornerback Jimmy Smith, like, just somehow grabbed his ball, like, 6 inches up from the ground. And
after the first tip, and probably the best defensive play of the weekend, as far as that goes, second place being Justin Smith, sacking Eli Manning in similar fashion that he did Drew Brees while gobbling up the tackle, but more on that later.
And red zone, both teams were mediocre as Baltimore was 1 for 4, 25%, and Patriots were 2 for 5.
Holding the Patriots two for five is a pretty good effort. I mean, you know, we're used to seeing red zone screw ups by the Ravens, but I think we're closing into the part where we talk about their final red zone calamity, which could have altered their percentage there somewhat, Chris.
Yeah, and third down, 9 for 17 for the Ravens, 53%, and Patriots are 5 for 11, 45%. So still pretty good on
that.
Yeah,
both sides weren't terrible.
And Ravens had 2 chances, as I said earlier, to tie the game. Once they went for it on 4th and 6 with 7:07 left and didn't get it instead of trying to kick a 51-yard field goal.
Or would you even suggest a punt at that juncture if you didn't want to go for the field goal?
No,
because when you missed the field goal, it was 2:46 left in the game.
You're the freaking Ravens defense,
or not miss the field goal, and then when you missed the 4th and 6. And well,
that's what I'm saying. You got the freaking Ravens defense. Maybe they can get you 2 points and the ball back with a safety.
So they went for it with 2:46 left. Didn't get it. And then their last possession, they got the ball on their own 21 with 1:44 left. So 1:02 went off the clock.
Wow.
Of that. And they drove down the field to the New England's 14-yard line when Lee Evans dropped the pass in the end zone. You can say it was knocked away by a defender, but it was in his hands. As he was taking the second step, it got knocked out.
Right.
Some people say it was a touchdown because he had 2 feet down or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But he didn't maintain possession.
We're not trying to bring up the Calvin Johnson rule, but the litmus test of late to make it safe is this. If Calvin Johnson's thing last year wasn't a touchdown, this isn't as well. If you don't, maybe we should have like an index set up for the Calvin Johnson thing so they could click on it and go to that video, but that'll be on me.
That was just a... Lee Evans should have hit the gym type thing because it was low and it was in his hands, but he didn't try to secure it. The guy just knocked it right out.
Well, he even had against his body a bit, but it was against his body.
It wasn't firm against the body.
As it should have been.
The problem is the guy brought his arm underneath between the chest and his arm.
Yeah,
it was kind of like underneath. He clawed at him. It was really kind of a lucky stab, but he did have it against his body.
Yep.
I mean, it was looser than it should have been. That you're absolutely
right
about.
But, of course, he couldn't have been at the gym because he's been rehabbing an ankle injury all season long.
So, he was at the gym. He was just focused on the lower
arm. Work on the arms, though.
Yeah. So, that was one. And then the other one is he came from Buffalo, and they don't know what a Super Bowl is since the 90s. Yeah, you had to load a playoff game.
Yeah.
And then right after that pass, Dennis Pitta.
Well, let me throw this one more thing too out there. Did you feel like, because there were two defenders near the play on that pass to Lee Evans, do you feel like that Flacco should have thrown in a ball that came a little higher too? I mean, Lee Evans had to turn it completely around to make that adjustment to make the catch in the first place. I don't know that the right ball was thrown either.
Yeah, it would have been nicer to have it up there, but still.
Well, if it was up there,
catchable.
Catchable, yes, but to have a better ball, this defensive back, I'm saying, wouldn't have even had a chance to stab at it.
That would have been nice, but not everything is perfect.
See, I feel no, because Lee Evans.
I think this was 70%, not less. Not it's not like he threw a 95% rating pass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
So
yeah, I mean, Lee Evans isn't that tall receiver you go over the top with. I think the ball was how he threw it was the throw, but he was going to Lee Evans the whole way. I think a different throw to a different receiver might have been feasible with double coverage on Lee Evans. But he threw the ball, in the NFL, is a back shoulder throw, pretty much. I mean, it was a good throw. Lee Evans had it in his hands. That would have been a great catch. He just needs to keep it in.
Oh, people have been throwing the word perfect around for that throw, and that,
it wasn't
that
perfect, kind of, but
that's
just kind of
what bothers me. But anyways.
And then right after that, Dennis Pitta was held on the very next play on third down, which would have been on a first down.
Not held, raped.
As he was dragged down to
the
ground.
Didn't even buy him dinner.
The defensive back for the Patriots is now going to be on the list for sexual offenders. All
right. And then after that, Billy Cundiff missed the 32-yard field goal that would have tied the game.
Yeah. And of course, that's the only thing anyone's talking about. But both these other plays, not only would they have won the game and taken even overtime off the table for the Patriots, the kick wouldn't have even been necessary, warranted for these two previous plays going the way they did. You know, there's people who have actually wanted to pin this game on Flacco's failure, and you just can't do it this time, folks. I'm sorry. Not even a little bit. Flacco did his job, and you're not going to hear about it, because here's the thing. If the Ravens won this game, the legacy for the Super Bowl in the Ravens highlight film to when they're talking about ESPN or NFL Network or any of that would be, well, the defense on more there, but there was one game, the game that got them to the Super Bowl where the offense came up big, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, but now that's out the damn window. And anyway.
Yeah, I think if you were some of these people that are probably blaming Flacco on it, they only probably watched the first quarter and a half.
Yeah, he did struggle opening, but hey, so did Brady.
Yeah, well, Brady just played like crap the whole game.
Well, yeah, he missed a wide open Gronkowski in the middle of the field. That was awesome in the first quarter.
How do you miss Gronk? Seriously.
Hey.
Hey.
He's a big tight end, but
hey,
still.
Hey, dinosaur. Catch this football. Anyways. Whatever. So does that wrap you up for that game?
That wraps me up for that game.
All right, so let's take it over to the NFC. Weasel, bring that.
Turnovers played a key part in this game as the Giants, on the road, defeated the 49ers in a rainy and windy game, 20-17 in overtime to earn a trip to the Super Bowl. For the Giants, Eli Manning was 32 of 58. Yeah, 58 passes.
Quite a few.
It's a lot. 55%, 316 yards, 2 touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked 6 times.
That's where I was looking at. I'm like, 58? He dropped back like 60-something.
I thought it was...
Oh, sacks. There we go.
Yep. So 64 times.
Because I'm like, 58. Oh, wait a minute. I was sacked quite a bit.
Yeah. In the running game, Ahmad Bradshaw had 20 rushes for 74 yards, 3.7 average. Some would argue that Bradshaw should have had a fumble in the late fourth quarter. More on that later.
Some would argue. How politically correct. Yeah. Thanks, Weasel.
Hey, can I add a quick stat in real quick?
Sure.
Throw it.
On with the sacks, the go along with sacks on Manning. He was hit 12 times.
Dang.
E-Trade baby getting abused.
Yeah. Giants only hit Alex Smith 6.
Yeah.
Well, we said it a lot last week that the O-line for the Niners is the kryptonite, if you will, for the Giants D-line, you know. Anyways, Weasel?
Now, for Brandon Jacobs, he had 5 for 13, 2.6 average. In the mid-first quarter, Jacobs was stopped short on a 4th-and-1 at the 49ers' 34-yard line.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, a big momentum push from that point for the 49ers.
The receiving game, Victor Cruz, 10 catches for 142 yards. Hakeem Nicks had 5 for 55. Ahmad Bradshaw had 6 for 52.
With a lost fumble. Sorry, I'm still bitter.
Mario Manningham had a 17-yard touchdown reception, and tight end Bear Pasco had a 6-yard touchdown catch.
Dude, dudes who've earned their actual given first names, Bear Pasco is a big man. Yep. That dude's huge.
He is.
He scored a touchdown. I'm like, where's my fat guy's bike and my fat guy dance? I mean, well, of course, I guess it's not fair to call him fat. He's just really big.
But he's big, yeah.
Anyways.
In the third quarter, with the 49ers down 10-7 on a 4th-and-6, Justin Tuck ran into Giants kicker Andy Lee for a 5-yard penalty, which, if accepted, would have gave the 49ers the ball back with a 4th-and-1. Harbaugh declined the penalty, taking the result of the punt at the Giants' 7-yard line.
Okay. So, what impact did that play have?
What?
Not a damn thing.
Yeah, about to say.
It's the Giants went 3 and out, gave the ball back to the Niners. The Niners went 3 and out, gave the ball back to the Giants. So,
well, if you're at the, it was a 50-yard line.
Okay.
They would have had the ball 4th-and-1. So if you go for it, you get that.
Yeah, but he still would have punted it. When was that again?
Yeah, he did punt it. He said he would have punted it.
In the third quarter.
The reason why he didn't take the penalty was it was at the 7-yard line. So.
So you got a good punt inside the 20. Or risk
inside the 10.
Inside the 10. Inside the
and risk, inside the 10. Yeah.
So. And risk a shank on this one where you actually had a penalty that favored the opponent.
Yeah.
I'm just whatever.
For the 49ers, Alex Smith was 12 of 26, 46%, 196 yards, 2 touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked 3 times and had 6 scrambles for 42 yards. Quick stat. 49ers were 1 of 13, 7.7% on third down. Giants were 7 of 21 for 33%.
21 attempts on third down? I mean, come on, dude. Look, I don't know if you got a time of possession for me there. I got it here. I'll look it up real quick. All right.
Time of possession, Giants had 36 to 28-18.
Yep. So, yeah, having all those, having a number of third down conversions fail?
33% of the time.
You know, 30 isn't bad, but when you missed 14 of them.
Yeah, you have the Niners one on there?
Yeah, the Niners is 1 of 13.
1 of 13, yeah. That's the murder there, too. As much as you're going to hear me bitch about things that went the way that they shouldn't have, you know, that we'll get to later. I mean, that's an isolating stat. I mean, yeah. Anyways, Weasel?
In the running game, Frank Gore had 16 rushes for 74 yards, 4.6 average. Rookie running back Kendall Hunter and Anthony Dixon combined had 6 for 33. In the receiving game, tight end Vernon Davis had 3 catches for 112 yards and 2 long touchdowns, 1 for 73 yards and 1 for 28. Frank Gore had 6 for 45, tight end Laney Walker had 2 for 36, and Michael Crabtree had 1 for 3.
The only one by a wide receiver in the entire game.
Yep. In this game, Alex Smith had 9 targets to 2 wide receivers, with Crabtree only getting that one reception.
Mm-hmm.
On the other end, Eli Manning had 35 targets to 4 wide receivers, completing 17 of them.
Wow, that's different.
It's different. For special teams, early in the fourth quarter, with the 49ers up 14-10, the Giants punted on a 3-and-out. The ball bounced off the turf a couple times, and 49ers returner Kyle Williams, at the last second, tried to get away from the ball, and it bounced off his knee. The Giants specialist saw that and picked up the muff punt at the 49ers' 29-yard line. Replays confirmed that it did bounce off Williams' knee, and the Giants scored a touchdown off that turnover.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the part where there was a couple of bounces. You could tell the way he was poised. This goofy little punk was going to try to take a shot at returning it and then changed his mind. If he had just gotten out of the way in the first place,
yeah,
you know, that's Niners' ball. Maybe they get it down the field. Maybe they score on that drive. That's a big if. But here's what we know for a fact. It's at least a little bit more difficult for Eli and Mario Manningham to hook up to get the eventual touchdown.
Yeah.
But here also, though, I mean, in the first quarter, he came diving for a ball, a punt.
Oh, yeah, I even forgot about that.
He dove for a punt. What are you doing diving forward for a punt? That could have been a fumble.
I mean, yeah, if it bounces off his helmet or something jets forward.
He's diving. He's almost catching to the ground. He could come up and come pop right up.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, right.
So with the score tied at 17-all, the Giants faced a 2nd-and-21 with about 2.5 minutes remaining in the game. Bradshaw got the ball off a swing pass and was surrounded by 49ers defenders as they pushed him back. As he was being pushed back, a 49ers player stripped the ball, but the play was ruled dead due to stop of forward progress.
Right, and here's what happened is that the ball came out before the whistle was blown, But the instant that whistle is blown for forward progress, the play is unreviewable. Yeah. Now, I understand why. It's because it's to avoid situations where play would be still in full effect after a whistle. That can't happen. You can never have a situation where the whistle isn't the end of the play. People are going to get friggin' killed with that. With all that being said, I mean, you know, it's interesting. Who was the head of... Whose officiating crew was on this game? Ed Hockley. That's right. Good answer, Weasel. Now, where have we heard this before? When the Chargers and the Broncos were facing off a couple years ago in a very crucial game for their division, Phillip Rivers was ruled...
Jay Cutler,
thank you, was ruled down when he'd actually fumbled the ball. And the Chargers would have won upon the recovered fumble. That wasn't. Instead, Cutler retains possession towards the end of the game, scores a touchdown, keeps the Chargers out of the playoffs. Now, far be it for me to cry for the Chargers, but... Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, they were talking about not having Hockley do playoff games since then. And he's in a playoff game, and then he does this. Curious. Weasel?
The 49ers would have gotten the ball back with great field position, but the Giants were able to punt with under 2 minutes remaining. 49ers had a three and out, and the Giants couldn't do anything with it also, so the game went into overtime. Giants got the ball first, got a first down, but then a three and out, so they had to punt. 49ers had a three of out of their own, then the Giants took six plays to punt on a fourth and three at their own 44-yard line. Where they punted to? Kyle Williams. The victim of the month punt. Well...
The victim of the month? We'll get into that later. Go ahead, Weasel. No.
He decided to return the punt at their own 19, returning at 5 yards. But he did not protect the football as he fumbled it after a Giants player smacked it out of his hands. Giants were able to run for two first downs, and Giants kicker Lawrence Tynes kicked a 31-yard field goal for the Giants to win the game.
Let me tell you something about this bread baker. See, I call him a bread baker because he handled that last fumble like a loaf of bread. You got that?
Okay.
This dumbass doesn't get out of the way, thinks he can return a punt after a number of passes, and he's a victim. Weasel.
Not victim, but
okay.
Come on.
I'm just saying. You got to be
some words, but I mean,
I know it's semantics, but
yeah.
This guy gets no safety from me at all. He gets the freaking axe on this. This guy needs to be cut like a piece of paper, and much like Chris said, should have been to Tony Sperano long ago, he should be left to get his own flight home, except they're already at home, so, I mean, maybe just a bus back to his apartment's necessary.
There was the kicker for the 49ers.
Akers.
He got his back at the end of the game. He was, like, saying, like, last year, you know, I could have been done. People would have counted me out because I think in a game that would have took him to the playoffs, I think he missed two field goals.
For the Eagles, correct.
For the Eagles, yeah. And then he came back the next season and he had the record for the most points for a kicker.
I believe the missed kicks were games where if he had made those kicks, they would have prevailed over the Packers in the playoffs last year.
Yep, and he got his back and he was like saying, you know, it's... crap happens, and you know your team has to, it's about having the support of your teammates. Yeah. And he's a young player. I think he's like a second year.
That's a very noble gesture for a veteran guy, whether he's a kicker or not. And David Akers,
kind of, I think he's a 3 year.
I can't speak for that, but and the difference between the Akers situation and Kyle Williams, Akers' daughter was having a lot of medical issues, so his head was out of the game. He wasn't just plain stupid. Like Kyle Williams was. I don't care. He's been returning punts for how long?
Yeah.
Screw that.
Yeah, second year.
If you're capable of this kind of stupid, you don't belong on the roster. Not my roster. Play for the damn Rams. I'm just saying.
Hey, can you tell me this? Why was Weatherford, the punter for the Giants, running around like he made the kick after the game?
Yeah, I know, right?
And Tynes is just standing there, like, cheering with the team, and then Weatherford's running down the field with his arms up, like he made the kick.
Hey, he made a good hold on a bad snap.
Actually, that's a big deal.
That's all I got, Chris. I'm sorry.
I mean, maybe because he had 12 punts?
There was 22 punts in this game.
Yes. And, hey, can you answer this question for me? Okay. How can you have 69 solo tackles?
All right.
But 69 with should be two total, not solo.
I don't follow.
Yeah, solo by
yourself. Oh! See, one cannot 69. Even though it's solo, one cannot 69 without an assistant.
Okay.
By the way, that was the Niners solo tackle, 69 to the Giants total tackles, 59.
Well, it looks like the Giants got shorted by 10. Anyway, so with that discouraging, well, at least to me. I mean, well, let me ask you guys this. I felt last week's games were better in that they weren't decided by officials compared to this week's games.
I think officials sucked in both games this weekend.
Yeah.
Both. I mean, they let a lot of things go, and they should have.
Well, there's a difference between letting them play. Like, you and I were both talking about holding calls last night. And how some of those were being let go. I could kind of see that, really. I mean, because nobody's
tackled.
Yeah, I mean.
You throw the flag.
Exactly. There were, I mean, both sides had a couple of
those. On the goal line, you throw the flag.
For Pitta, exactly. Yes. You know, the ball's loose, you blow the whistle. You know, I think where the problem comes in is you got these officials who were afraid to decide the fate of the game with a call and do just the same thing but even more negative by the call they don't make. Like an example of Dennis Pitta, where he's being molested, you know, right by the goal line. If he was covered, you know, quote unquote proper and not grabbed all over, that ball goes to him. He falls backwards. He's in the end zone. Ravens. Then it's Ravens in the Super Bowl. But
see, I think, like when the NFL came out when you said that they were going to be hiring five full time officials or whatever, they need to be reviewing all the games just through the week so they can make these right calls. You know, I mean, there's, what, the most 16 games in one weekend? The most? You have five of them?
Something like that, yeah.
It's a little over three a game. And about three a game, you know, a week. Yeah. You have a week to analyze those games. They need to analyze the officiating crew.
Well, allegedly, they already have something with the league office where they already do that sort of thing, where they study plays that were blown or questionable for how to call them in the future. So this practice that you're talking about already exists.
Right. Well, they need to do a better job.
They need
of
to step the hell up, exactly.
What they need to do is, you know, they blow the calls if they, you know, have it in writing, or I don't know, maybe they do, but have them coaching, and if they have it happens again in another game, suspend the official from.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and this isn't like the Calvin Johnson thing, or, you know, when we were talking about Jermaine Gresham, the tight end for the Bengals in the first Bengals-Ravens matchup, where it was about interpretation. The rules say what they did was wrong, illegal, if you will, and no call. You know. Anyways, well. So, that all being said, let us go to the study hall and check the records, so to speak, where Chris has the chance to pull off what may have once been dubbed the impossible.
And one game down, Weasel broke his 100. So 101.
Boom.
So
he's,
yeah,
happy now. He's done.
And so I went 0-2.
Yeah, you went 0-2. Me and Weasel both went 2-0.
Because, you know, you went all contrarian and whatnot.
Yeah, I picked based on what I thought we would win.
Yeah.
It just happened to be contrarian.
I didn't pick based on past predictions.
Oh, really? So. Really? Yeah? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you thought the Patriots deserved to win that game?
I didn't say they deserved it.
Oh, okay.
But they won.
And the Patriots making the Super Bowl and losing, so.
Yeah, well, that may still happen yet. Of course, they weren't losing to the Giants,
but
that's a different
topic.
But
it was another NFC East team.
Oh, you had the Eagles in the Super Bowl? Yeah.
So,
well, depending on how next year goes, like, seriously, if they shore up their defense, you guys feel like that they could, at the very least, be NFC finalists, if not the Super Bowl?
Could be.
I believe they got so many weapons, like, how they can't be. I still think they should have done a change with the coach. I mean, they made with defense coordinator, but you know what? You're not putting points up on the board either as well, so.
Well.
Something's got to give.
At any rate. Right, so I guess this is not, it's a time to it. One game left to pick. Giants, Patriots, Super Bowl. And, you know, everyone's going to be hyping up what happened. I believe it's what, Super Bowl 42 in 2007? Did I get that right?
Whatever it was.
Something like that.
At any rate, so.
Go ask the Niner that had a shaved in his head.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, Since he's about to be such an expert on getting it cut, maybe Kyle Williams can shape it right. So he, anyways,
bitter.
Well, yeah, I'm bitter. He also has my first name, man. I mean, you know, forget that.
It's what I said to him before. Yeah, here I am. I'm like, it's not the Niners and the Ravens, or not the Patriots and the Giants win. It's the Niners and the Ravens lost the game.
Yes, yeah. Precisely. So
everyone's like, how is that possible? No.
Watch the games.
It's they blew it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Handing.
He gave them the game.
Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, if you will. And so, anyway, so getting to picking the Super Bowl here, which is 2 weeks off yet. For me, I look at the matchups there. It's going to come down to, you know, people are like, ooh, Bill Belichick will have a plan for the Giants this time and all this. What plan? Unless he's going to have creative protection packages, the answer is going to be trying to stop the DEs of the defense. Because as we said before in the past few weeks, you can't spell defense without DE, simply put. So that on top of another little stat. Gentlemen, name for me teams that Tom Brady has beaten with a regular season record better than 500.
It's just in the playoffs. In the playoffs, they played, they beat the Ravens, right?
The Ravens, yep.
So that's, and then the Broncos, answer, they played, they didn't have a regular season record, so just
when,
the Ravens.
When they played against the Broncos the first time.
They had a 9-8, whatever.
Yeah.
Screw that, I'm talking regular season record.
No, regular season, weren't the Broncos?
No. I mean, name a team they beat that
finished with
a record better than 500. Mm-hmm. The answer is one, and that would be the Ravens.
As I was talking to your dad last night, and he was like, how is that? They'd only beat three games or whatever against teams with over 500 when they played against them. And I'm like, well, six games against
them. Oh, he said it wrong.
Right, I'm still saying, I'm like, all right, you got six games against the AFC East.
Yeah.
And then you got the AFC West. So, like, that's nine out of their 13 wins.
Yeah, real difficult schedule. And how about that playoff schedule? Tebow and Flacco.
No.
Okay? Let me go through a list of teams. Here's part of your pop quiz. Packers, Saints, Niners. I'm going to take the Steelers off because they were so injured. I'll even throw the Lions in there. Four teams that are also in the playoffs. Anyone think the Patriots could have beat them?
Nope. I don't think so.
Yeah, Weasel, don't shake your head. This is radio.
I said very softly,
Fair enough. I'll translate. Meh. Anyway, that's the part that makes it rough. I mean, for me, I felt like the Giants. Hell, at least the Giants beat the Packers. At least the Giants beat the Niners. At least they beat the top two teams in the tournament, so to speak. So there's that. There's the fact that no number one seed lately has won the Super Bowl. With all that, and just the fact that I hate Brady that much. I got the Giants, simply put. I'll let Chris stew. Weasel.
I got the Giants too. The tight end situation for the Patriots, if they had Gronk healthy and all, because Davis did get two big touchdown catches. Hernandez is no joke, but still, with Gronk being a little hobbled, Giants got their wide receivers, and then from the game against the Ravens, Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin had pretty good games. So
look out for Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz
and Mario Manningham.
So,
and they got some, you know, tight ends too. So
Jake Ballard, Bear Pascoe.
Yeah.
Jake Ballard will be back. He was kind of injured, so.
Mm-hmm.
So got the Giants.
Weasel got the Giants. Chris, will you make us unanimous? Will you be the homer or? Will you be playing to tie, that co-championship?
It's tough. I was thinking about just going and saying, you know what, I feel bad for you about the game ended yesterday. So I'll just go with the picking Giants just because, you know, hey, I'll concede. Yeah, I feel your pain. Here you go. There's the gift.
Well, look, I know you for 25 years, but here's the truth. I still did pick that Texans game wrong. So, right. I mean, at least I contributed to it some. Right.
But then again, it is always tough to beat the same team twice in one season with it being in the playoffs.
Let alone with all the impact. Exactly. Right. Let alone with all the story in there, sure.
For the tie, I'm going to the Patriots, even though I want the Giants to win. So
just
got to go for the tie.
It's a win-win situation.
Since I was 5 down, I had to at least go, you know, when the playoffs starts, I at least got to go for the tie.
See, for me, when I went co-champion with Weasel last year, I really wanted the Steelers to win. But I picked the Packers.
Right.
Lo and behold. So, you know, I mean, you could have that same. It's set up. This is another repeat situation, as a matter of fact, in our picks Super Bowl. You're picking against the team that your heart wants, but your brain says, look, the only way I can win is this. I got second place locked up. But anything with that. So, depending on how things could go, from what you were talking about, correct me if I'm getting it wrong, the worst Weasel could do is 68%?
It's 68.2. Right now he's at 68.7, so we round up 69%.
Okay. Alright!
So you better get that right, or else not only will you not be ahead in the lead, you also won't have won.
Yeah, you'll be at 68.2, the best will be 68.9.
So alright, round it up, baby.
Hey, so make sure you get that win.
So right now I'm sitting at 71.4% right for the year. Kyle, you're at 72.1. The worst you can do is 71.6. The best I can do is 71.6. That means we're tied. Worst I can do is 70.9, so 71. The best you can do is 72.3, so 72. So still pretty damn good.
So, yeah, I mean, for me, I'm going to put a little GFM on that. These are some great football minds. So while we're rounding it out here, gentlemen, rounding up what is probably one of our shorter shows of the year. Not as much as I thought.
We jabbed a little bit.
Yeah, sure. They had a lot of good stuff to talk about. 6 quarterbacks since the Bucs won with Brad Johnson in 2002. Brady, Breeze, Roethlisberger. I'm stealing this from Tom Kernan, by the way. I talked to him about this today. WTMY.com, 1280 AM, Sarasota, Bradenton. We shuffled with this a little bit. So he went through those 6 quarterbacks with me. Manning, Brady, Breeze, Roethlisberger.
Manning.
Well, yeah, that's a E Manning, P Manning, Rodgers. And I said Breeze already. So, yeah. So through those 6 quarterbacks, how would you rank them?
Manning, I mean, because of, you know, what he's got around him, he's got 1 Super Bowl victory, and his team has always been. He's always been, you know, playoff bound and everything. But his record isn't that, you know, stellar.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, I would say, like number 3, number 4.
I put him at 4. But the thing that's interesting about Eli is, other than Roethlisberger, he's the only one of these quarterbacks that have a well-known defense around them, too. Especially in 2007. That D-line was awesome as well as they are this year.
Right.
You know, I think I had Manning number 1. I put Brady number 2 because his numbers are so retarded. I had Roethlisberger 3 because the Steelers are a passing team now after years of being a running team.
And that's going to change, supposedly.
Oh?
Yeah, the offensive coordinator was released.
He retired.
Yeah, well, really forced out, let's just say.
However.
But, you know, the owner
wants to go back to the way
they run. Wants to go back to the blue-collar approach.
They don't have the staff for that.
The ball.
Wow. We'll need to consider that when we're doing preseason predictions.
If you want to do that, that means you're drafting Trent Richardson, but he's not going to be available when they're picking. So if they want
unless
to
they
up,
trade up, yeah.
Because I'm just trying to think of any other running backs that are coming out that could fit that mold, and I don't think so.
Well, goodness gracious, do they have enough beef to do that?
Offensive line is pretty beat up, so.
Yeah, they're beat up every year.
They can do the Niners experience and draft a DN and move him to fullback.
That's one, or they could do the Joe Staley and take a really huge tight end and shape him back to be a tackle. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, and then to round it out, I had Rodgers 5th with an asterisk because he's got so much left in his career, and then Breeze 6th.
Because
other than that Super Bowl year, he's done some good things, but you know that whole breaking Marino's record and whatnot and the Super Bowl MVP. But anyways. So I like how you went right to Eli there, too. Question here. Eli wins the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. Guaranteed Hall of Famer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Chris?
I I'd like to see one more good year out of him first before I decide on that. I mean, he had a good year this year, but last year he had 30-something interceptions, or not that many, but he had 30-something turnovers.
Brett Favre is an automatic Hall of Famer?
Yep, stats-wise.
Then how on earth can you keep Eli out?
Right, I know, you know, he's like, he'd get in eventually. I'd just like to see one more year, because then you got to see what,
transpires. So what else can, if you want to, speaking of ways where you can help inspire improvement, you can always check us out, www.thestudentofthegame.com, in case you didn't get here that way. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Throw us an email, thesotg@gmail.com. And, follow us on Twitter, @thesotg. With that, no other questions. Class dismissed.